This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winiger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I have never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, we missed last week.
Yep.
I feel like I'm always apologizing recently. But
that's fine. We both have lives. We both have things we have to do.
Yeah. Things we have to do besides watch Star Trek, which is terrible.
Oh, God,
If we could just watch Star Trek all the time...
I would love to do this.
It would be a utopian future.
Right. Much like Star Trek.
Yes, exactly. Watching Star Trek is the equivalent of living in Star Trek.
Yeah, I like how their whole thing is... Well, you know, we've kind of... Our society's evolved where, like, people reach their... full potential by just doing whatever they want to do. It's like, man, I wouldn't do a goddamn thing. I would just like podcast all the time or something.
That's right. My full potential is watching Star Trek. So I'd just be sitting there.
Well, speaking of watching Star Trek, we should probably get into this episode.
Yes.
The Survivors.
Yes. So yeah, it's the third episode of season 3.
Yeah.
We're getting deep into it now, Patrick.
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul. I'm told season 3 is where it starts to get good.
Yes.
I thought this one was just okay.
It was fine.
I mean, it's fine. It's a passable episode. We'll get into that later. But for Patrick's log, this is what was going on. This episode came out October 9th, 1989. I couldn't find an interesting headline for that day specifically, but I found one for October 10th, 1989 that I thought was funny. The headline is, "In the end, the Cubs are still the Cubs." So what happened was...
Even after this year.
Right. So this was several years ago when the Cubs had a reputation of being losers. As we all know, they won the World Series finally last year.
Still losers, though.
Right. Yeah. For anyone who may be confused, I know this is a Chicago-based podcast. Neither of us are fans of the Chicago Cubs.
No.
We are White Sox fans.
Yeah.
There is another baseball team in Chicago.
Who did win the World Series?
Yes.
In 2005.
Yeah. Ozzie Guillen, who is the namesake of the dog Ozzie.
Yes. Who sometimes you hear in the background.
Right. Led the Chicago White Sox, not the Cubs, to a World Series victory before the Cubs got one in 2016. But anyway, what was going on here is the Cubs won their division in 1989, and it was like a big deal, and everyone thought they're going to, oh, this will be the year. And no, they lost 4-1 to the San Francisco Giants for the National League Championship Series.
So still lovable losers.
Right, yeah.
I have an interesting fun fact.
Oh, yeah? Let's hear it.
So do you recognize anything from the set on today's episode?
I mean... As we pointed out when we were watching it, everything in Star Trek, like in the future, is like, there's like, everything is covered in purple felt.
Yeah. Purple is the color of the future,
okay.
Apparently. Yeah. But that's not what I was bringing up.
That's all that I noticed. What did your eagle eyes see?
My eagle eyes and my crafty fingers that can Google the internet.
Right.
The window in the main room.
Yeah.
Is the same window that was used in Loud as a Whisper.
I did
not.
Do
you remember that episode?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
That's where the guy communicated through like thought or feeling, and he was trying to be a peace delegate or something on a planet, and they just murdered each other.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He had to learn sign language. He had to teach it to himself later in the episode. Well, he also was in possession of this very same window.
I did not notice that.
And I did. I didn't look it up.
Yeah, definitely. That's certainly a thing that you remembered.
Yeah, I called it back.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into the episode?
Sure. So, the survivors, as you said, it's the third episode of the third season.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those where the mission that they start off on actually is what they end up doing.
Oh, that's
in the
a
episode.
Great point.
Yeah, that rarely happens.
Yeah.
So they're going to a place called Delta Rana 4. They got some distress signal, and the Enterprise may have to go under attack. Like, they're saying, it's like, what, this planet, it's a Federation colony, got attacked by some alien life form. We may have to do battle. We don't know what's going to happen. So it starts off pretty strong, like, oh, man, this is going to be an action-heavy episode.
Which piqued your interest. You love space battles.
I love space battles. Yeah. That's one of my, I don't know, it's just goofy fun.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good space battle?
Right. We do get some in this episode, but it's kind of slow to start up.
Yeah,
honestly.
And a little underwhelming when it happens.
Yep.
It's not like the Borg or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, they go to the planet, they're like scanning for life. There's supposed to be 11,000 people in this colony.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find anything. No vegetation. No buildings. Everything is gone. Except for one tiny, like, acre patch of land.
Yeah, with a house on it and trees. It's perfectly preserved.
Yeah. And that's weird. Like, that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
Everyone should be dead. They said they described it as a nuclear holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on here? Up on the Enterprise, they also find two life forms, by the way.
That seem very human.
Right. But Troy, you know, she's got her superpowers where she can sense this stuff. She's like, there's something different about them.
Something's up with these humans.
Right.
Every time they say that these two are humans, it's very clear that they're not.
Right.
Right. You know, you pick that up right away in this episode, just from the context clues of what's going on.
Well, I thought it was going to be initially like something about nuclear warfare. Mm. I was like, oh, are they like mutated or something? Is that what this is going to be about? All we know is that they're being picked up as humans, but there's something different about them. So Riker leads a landing party to go check out what's going on. They see this house, and it looks like...
it's a triangle.
Yeah, triangle, like, weird architect-built house.
Also, not to be, like, that guy, but mm-hmm. when they get inside of the house...
Oh, yeah.
The rooms don't look like they would fit into the building that's outside
not.
Of the
no,
house.
No, yeah. I mean, everything looks like an upper-middle-class home in suburban Tampa in the 70s.
It was actually in Malibu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, too. They're on someone's yard, basically.
Right.
And they're like, are we going to assault the house? And, like, is that what we're going to do? And Worf mentions that he senses only one, like, low-grade phaser.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, no, we don't have to attack. They're Federation, but they don't know that we're here. So, like, let's just kind of knock on the door.
And see if they answer.
Yeah, Riker takes one step and falls into a snare, like, immediately. And I laughed so hard because he just looked like a tetherball.
He did.
He just hits this pole.
I love that they have all this technology to scan for phasers and life forms.
Yeah.
But you can't
find
a
snare
trap.
And this old guy comes out, and he's got this gun. His name is Kevin, by the way. Mm-hmm. Great name for an old grizzled dude, Kevin. They're like, oh, what are you doing on my property? Blah, 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 blah. And they're trying to explain. He's mad. But then his wife comes out, Rashawn.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of explain what's happening. Like, look, we're from the Federation. We got a distress signal. We found that you're the only two alive. So we're here to help you. Please, please get me down. And Rashawn is trying to negotiate with her husband, and finally they kind of iron out what's going on here. But here's the weird part. They don't know that they're the only ones left.
No.
Which is strange, because they're on their property and everything else around them is gone.
Rashawn doesn't know.
Yeah.
She's the one who reveals that information.
Right, yeah, but when I'm watching this for the first time, like, I assume it's like, oh, neither one of them knows.
Right, I guess
yeah,
that's true.
I don't know the conceit of the episode yet.
Yeah, but
point.
I want to make it clear,
yes.
The one who said it
is
Rashawn. Rashawn.
Yeah, not
yeah.
Kevin.
The other part of that is, I guess you would go outside and you would see everything was blown up.
Yeah.
How far would you walk, right?
Well, there's
would
only
you keep exploring?
There's only 11,000 people on the planet.
That's true.
They're not like spread out all over the planet.
Right,
there's got to
like
be like
town.
One settlement.
Yeah.
But they said
point.
That like they saw a ship and it just took apart the planet piece by piece and they never saw their faces. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that they're the only two left?
I guess not.
So it seems weird. And I'm sure it seems weird to Riker and the gang here at this point, too.
The ragtag crew.
Yeah. So they're like, well, let's check inside the house. Like, we got to figure out why you're the only two. Because this is pretty weird. There must be some reason behind that. So they investigate stuff, and Data finds this little music box on Rashawn's shelf. And it starts playing this music.
Oh, this music. Yeah. Creepy music.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's an antique. You know, it was passed down or whatever.
Been in my family for generations.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. And as she explains what it is, Troy starts to hear the music over and over again in her mind.
Oh, poor Troy.
Oh, man.
They're always attacking her brain.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, they got to nerf her at some point because she has a really incredible power.
Right.
She's able to discover the plot immediately.
Before anybody else.
Yeah.
They have to stop her from doing that.
So they gotta, you know, neutralize her sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, she can figure out what, like, how to solve any problem immediately. Because she can read minds. So.
It just seems like her telepathy is more of a hindrance than a help.
I think the writers have, like, up to this point, I know we've talked about how I don't like how they use Troy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She's just conveniently gone and with no explanation
right.
at certain points. I kind of feel like when the explanation comes out, it's like, okay, the logic of that does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But it does suck to just see, like, she's a really good, cool character to, like, oh, well, you know, she's in bed for the entire time.
Yeah, just yelling in pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that sucks.
Well, see you later, Deanna Troi.
Yeah. So
maybe next episode you'll do something cool.
The other thing is that these two survivors do not want to go to the Enterprise. Riker's like, look, you can come aboard. We've got a cool ship. We can take you to a starbase. We can take you wherever you want. You don't have to live here anymore. And they're like, no, absolutely not. We have each other, and that's all we need. Back in the conference room, Riker and Picard and everybody, they're trying to talk about, all right, what do we do? And their conversation isn't important because all we start to hear is the music.
Oh, the music!
And Troy is just, like, out of her mind. They try to get her attention, and she's like, yeah, I agree with whatever you were saying.
I just love that there is no way anybody wouldn't look at her face and be like, something's wrong with
Deanna. I know.
Somebody help this woman.
And it's awesome because she just, like, does what I would do in a meeting, which is like, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I can't read their thoughts. Ah!
Yeah, if like just like what
grimacing the whole time
any person would do when they space out, is just say the one like she just says her job description.
Yeah,
it's like I couldn't read their mind. Sorry, definitely yeah. not experiencing like extreme mental torture.
Do
right
not
now.
Look at my face.
Yeah. So
if you had my powers, you would know I'm really uncomfortable.
Yeah, and she is uncomfortable, and she excuses herself and leaves. And Picard is like,
she says she's not feeling very well.
Yeah.
She's like, clearly, look
obviously.
At her.
Obviously. So Picard goes to check on her, and he's like, so what's the deal? Like, are you tired? Do you need a vacation or something? Because, you know, that happens. It's fine. And, you know, she kind of reveals about
the music.
Yep. Yeah. It won't stop. So that's not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So Worf is, he had volunteered to search all the weapons or anything that could have been left behind by this attacking force. He is unable to find anything. And this part I thought was kind of, it's a very quick like conversation between him and Picard, but Worf is just like devastated that he's failed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I love it.
He is super uncomfortable that he's just like, I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a neat little thing from Michael
Dorn.
He takes
his job really seriously.
Oh, yeah, and especially this is war. Like, this is his thing.
Yeah.
So
he should be excelling.
Yeah, but there's not much time to experience this little part because they're immediately attacked by some weird alien warship that they've never seen before. Obviously, this is the thing that destroyed the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There is no record of the ship. It is completely alien. They try to open hailing frequencies. It is totally ignored. And it just starts shooting at them.
With 40 megawatts of power.
Yeah, which turns out is not a lot.
Yeah, it's very little.
Yeah. Worf is like, it's barely scratching our shields. Like, we don't have to worry about this. So they shoot a little warning shot at it. It tries to flee. The Enterprise tries to chase it, but it's too fast. It gets out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, that was weird.
Anyway, let's go back to that planet.
Yeah, let's go back to that planet. They beam down, and they're like, the Uxbridges, by the way, that's their name, mm-hmm. the two botanists that are left alive on the planet. They're digging around in their garden with some stuff.
Yeah, doing some botany.
They're just doing some botany. Worf and Picard and Riker go down there, and they're like, hey, look, I know y'all want to stay. We can't force you to come, but we do have a replicator. So that's going to make your life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Do you want this? And Kevin is like, no, absolutely not. Rashaan does.
We don't need it.
Right. He's very...
Get off my lawn!
Get off my property! Yeah.
Yeah.
But Rashaan brings them in for tea. And this part... So there's a shot of Worf drinking tea inside their house, and he's clearly very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Which is weird, because as we've mentioned before and seen in other episodes, tea ceremony is a big part of Klingon culture.
Yes.
And he's just sipping this tea, and he says, nice tea. Nice house. I thought that was really funny.
Well, it's so non-Klingon, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he liked the tea.
Oh, well, it doesn't poison him.
Yeah, it's not going to kill him.
Yeah, it's not going to kill him, so he doesn't like it.
He's just trying to be polite.
Yeah. As they're drinking this tea, they're getting more information about what happened. Rashaan is telling them all the terrible things that happened on the planet, you know, all the terrible things that happened to the colonists, you know, as we've heard, 11,000 people died. It was really bad. Picard is saying that, look, I understand you want to stay here, and you don't want me here. I get that. But it's my job to figure out what happened, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Not only my job,
right.
My favorite hobby in the world.
Oh, yeah, this is a detective story.
Yeah, exactly. Picard is like, there's no way I'm leaving this.
No.
Somebody give me my duster and my hat.
Right. This is a Dixon Hill.
Yes, Dixon Hill.
A Dixon Hill adventure.
Everybody, get into costume. Yeah. We have work to do.
And technically, as we find out later, they're basically in a holodeck right now.
Oh, yeah, that's
in this
true.
House. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. None of this is real. You've seen the episode. It's from 1989. I'm not spoiling
anything.
Well,
if you're listening to this, hopefully you watched
You've already seen
first.
The episode. Yeah. And if you haven't, why are you listening to this? You're just listening to two dudes gabbing about...
things you don't know.
Yeah, some Star Trek episode. Go watch the episodes first.
Yeah. Well, that's what I assume everybody does.
I assume everyone does.
Please, listener, tell us. Are you watching the episode and then popping us on? Or have you seen it in the past and then you come back to it?
Yeah. Or have you just never seen it? Like
it's
me.
Weird...
and you're just listening to me describe
a show you can watch.
A Netflix thing I just saw. And if so, why are you doing that?
Because you're that charismatic.
Okay.
Patrick.
No, I'm not. But if you think I am looking for another job. So if you are willing to hire me to describe television shows or books that I've read to you, I will agree to do that for whatever weird reason, if that's your thing.
I am not hunting for another job, but if that job exists and you're in control of it, hit me up too.
Anyway, what's going on here is Picard is like trying to dig down into why these two people are here. And he keeps saying, look, I don't know why you're spared, but there's some reason behind it. Is it the color of your eyes? Is it how you reacted to this alien invasion? There must be some reason why they spared you. And I'm not saying it's your fault, but I'm saying that it is worthy of investigation. And I'm not going to give up.
Great moment here, too, about whether or not they fought in the battle. Rashaan goes, I wanted to fight, Kevin didn't.
Yeah, so that's weird.
So that was revealed.
Yeah, like Kevin is a pacifist, is what mm-hmm. it sounds like.
Yes.
And he keeps saying, like, I will not kill.
Well, you were saying earlier his value belief was structured around Quakers.
That's what the Wikipedia entry said.
Oh, I thought that was an observation you had,
no.
Just like the window observation I had.
Yeah, no, I Googled it, and it said that this character is based on the idea of the inner light, which is like a Quaker thing, where I think it said that it's like everyone has like a fragment of God inside of them. So this guy is actually like has godlike powers. But the other...
Whoa!
Sorry, spoiler alert. And also is a pacifist, as all Quakers are also pacifists.
Right.
So...
Which I think makes a lot of sense later in the episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
But right now, the deal is Picard is trying to figure out why they were spared. Again, he offers them room on the Enterprise. Mm-hmm. They don't take it. So Picard and Worf just go back. And they got to figure out what's going on. At this time, Troy is still like being tortured by this music.
And, the music!
Dr. Crusher...
She yells at constantly.
Yeah, she's yelling and screaming constantly.
Nobody knocks on her door and goes like, I heard you screaming.
Right.
They must have great
sound insulation here.
Yeah, I guess, but that's also bad.
Maybe this happens all the time. Or it's like, she's an empath. You know, she gets...
Oh, there she is, showing empathy for someone again.
Right. So, Dr. Crusher is trying to figure out what to do to make it stop. Nothing that she's doing is working. So she has to basically put her in a coma.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's real messed up.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen someone get put into a coma in this show yet.
What's strange about that, too, is that is not solving the problem in any way.
No, they're just trying to reduce her suffering
and
make her stop screaming.
Problem. Yeah, stop screaming,
because
Anna.
They can't figure out what it is. So she's like, well, I can't do anything, so for the time being, I'm just going to induce coma because she is in she's like in pain.
Hey, every time they flew away from the planet... Did the music stop or was it still going?
I think it was like going constantly.
So that is to imply if they would have left the planet without solving
still
this mystery,
would have gone.
It would have just gone on forever.
Would have gone on forever.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's part of the reason Picard wanted to stay.
Oh.
So he could, you know, get Troy out of this.
Well, that makes a lot more sense.
It
About
does,
halfway
yeah.
through this episode, I kept thinking, why are they dealing with this?
Oh, well, I mean, it's also their job, and also Picard loves mysteries, but also his crew member is experienced extreme.
Well, you learn something
torture.
Every day.
Yeah. So, Enterprise, they run into that alien ship again.
Yeah.
And this time it is a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
It's
40 gigawatts.
Gigawatts instead of mega,
megawatts.
Which
yeah.
is bigger mm-hmm. than a mega.
Yes.
It drains their shields this time. Last time, remember, it didn't do any damage. It actually does physical damage to the ship, so they try to fight back.
Computers were exploding all over the place.
Yeah. That's how you know it's bad.
Yeah. So, it always... makes me wonder how all that exterior damage is blowing up stuff in the bridge. But
I don't know.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. I think, doesn't like one guy fly over?
Yeah,
yeah.
Need to get
sick bay up there
to come help. Yeah.
So they give it everything they got. They fire a bunch of torpedoes and stuff and phasers and it doesn't do anything.
Nothing happens.
Just absorbs all of the damage. And
this ship is crazy.
Yeah. Worf doesn't like it one bit that they got to run away.
Yeah, they run.
Yeah. I mean, what else can they do? I don't know. Like, everyone's going to die on the ship otherwise, so.
And they run for a few hours.
Yeah, they get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting the ship didn't chase them, because remember, the ship is a lot faster than the Enterprise.
That's true. Running would be a bad strategy, knowing how fast it went
last
time.
So, but no, the enemy ship stays over the planet.
Yeah.
It doesn't follow them.
This has Picard thinking. Like,
Yeah.
How... strange.
Yeah. It is odd that this alien ship that destroyed everything but this one household is always there and not doing anything and attacking anything that comes to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very odd.
Very odd.
Back in Troy's quarters, Picard is talking to Dr. Crusher, and they're talking about this music thing. And Picard is saying that I think this music has something to do with the couple down there and them refusing to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time we try to investigate this alien ship comes, like, it's some kind of defense mechanism, is what it seems like.
It's chasing us away from the truth!
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, back into costume!
Right, so they go back to the Deltarana system, and Picard is saying, you know what, I got a hunch that ship isn't around here anymore.
And Riker's very worried because the shields are still down.
They're still down. The ship is damaged.
Oh, yeah.
And Riker, this whole episode, is just like, Picard, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Yeah. You're gonna kill us, man.
Right. Picard's like, no, don't worry. I got this. I think I have an idea of how this is working. This thing is protecting them in one way or the other.
Yeah. And it only knows we're here after we go down
after
to the
we
planet.
Go and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go talk to them. He and Worf go back down again, and the survivors are like, whoa, what the hell are you doing here? And Picard's like, why are you surprised that I'm here? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm from the Federation. You knew that I was here, and you knew that I'm not going to leave without you or without figuring out what's going on. So it's kind of weird that you're surprised that I came back.
The first time, it's explainable because you didn't know I was coming.
Right.
But this time, you know I'm here.
Yeah.
Why would you be surprised that I'm back?
Yeah. So, and it's like Rashaan that's surprised. Like, she's never seen this guy before. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, well, that's interesting. We've met.
Yeah.
So Kevin is talking to Picard. And
oh, by the way, when they come down, they're waltzing.
Yes. Kevin and Rashaan are waltzing to the music box thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what they walk in on.
Yes.
So Kevin...
you know, that thing you do.
Right.
You play a music box.
The very normal thing that
and
you do.
Dance to it with your wife.
Yes.
That happens all the time.
You don't do that?
Never. I mean, I dance with my wife.
At like weddings.
Maybe we're just bad husbands.
I'm a terrible dancer.
Are you really?
I'm awful.
Oh, I'm not too bad.
I'm terrible at it.
Anybody who says they're not too bad is probably horrible, but completely unaware.
I'm aware.
Yeah. What is he? Just don't got the rhythm?
I don't have anything, man.
I like dancing.
Well, Kevin and Rashaan are pretty good at it.
Yeah, they were great. They knew all the steps.
They have a lot of free time. So Kevin is telling Picard, Worf is like, look, dude, just leave me alone. You know, I don't want you here. I think I've made that pretty clear. Get the hell out. And Picard is telling him, okay, after I leave, never going to set foot on here again. I have had some encounters with this ship. I've run into it a few times. And, you know, I think something is going on. And mm-hmm. Kevin is like, what? You couldn't have encountered the ship. They're gone. Like, they destroyed everything and they left. Mm-hmm. They can't be back. That's impossible. And Picard's like, look, I'm telling you, I've run into this thing that destroyed the planet before.
Rashaan does not like this either.
No, Rashaan is terrified.
What?
Yeah. So... Picard is saying, look, the Enterprise is going to be in orbit around the planet. As long as you two are here, we're going to be here. So
the only way that we'll leave is if you guys die.
Yep. So he's like, that's the deal. All right, see you later.
Yep.
He like goes back to the Enterprise. And of course, the ship comes back. They see it again. And Worf doesn't like this. And Riker and Worf are like, okay, let's... take it out. We got to do it.
Game on.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to either die fighting or just die. So, but Picard is like, nope, we're not going to do anything. Just hang back. Riker does not like this at all. Because he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's no Dixon Hill.
No. He just goes to the holodeck to have sexy adventures. He doesn't go there to like solve mysteries.
No.
So what happens is they basically watch the ship destroy the house.
Yeah.
And they scan for life, no survivors.
They and also shoot one.
Then
photon.
They shoot one photon torpedo, yeah. And it blows up.
Yes,
they've destroyed the ship. And Picard's like, "All right, I'll be in my room. You know where to find me."
Yeah.
See you later.
He says, "Go into upper orbit, but let's keep watching the planet."
Right. They're still investigating. Riker is very confused, and he's like, goes to talk to him about it. And everyone in the crew is very confused.
I was hoping there would be a cool Riker sit in a chair moment.
No.
But he didn't sit at all. He just stood there teasing us.
I know. He always sweeps the leg over.
Uh-huh.
No, it just turns out that, no, they're here to investigate because Picard has a hunch, and they are following the hunch. It turns out it was a pretty good hunch.
Yeah, because at that moment, the house reappears.
Yeah. Geordi picks up a thing on the sensors, and they're like, oh. Hey, the house is back. That's weird. And also two life forms. So Picard's like, all right, I'm kind of done playing around with this. Let's just beam them aboard.
Which seems so aggressive.
Well, yeah, that's what everyone points us out. It's like, what if they protest? He's like, I don't care.
Just bring them on here. Mystery's been solved.
Yeah. So Kevin and Rashaan show up immediately, and they're like, hey, we didn't ask for this to happen. We specifically said not for this to happen. What's the deal?
This is the exact opposite of what we wanted.
Right. So Picard's like, you know, actually, I think Kevin has some explaining to do. And Kevin is like humming and hawing over it. And Picard just lets it out that, hey, Rashaan's not real.
No.
None of this is real.
Nothing is real. You've made it all. And I'm sorry, Rashawn, you feel real, but you're not.
Right.
And like, then she disappears.
She disappears. It is super weird.
So Kevin made her disappear in that moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after that happens, Rashawn vanishes, and Kevin is like, all right, you got me.
Busted.
I'm not human. And then he disappears, and they're like, oh, so he's somewhere on the ship. What are we going to do? He's dangerous. And Picard's like, no. If I'm right about who I sense who this guy is, because remember, he said he would not fight the aliens. He would not kill. Mm-hmm. He has some morality.
Right.
And he's like, I think I know where he is. And they find him in Deanna Troi's room.
It's a good thing he doesn't kill.
Yep.
Imagine
oh
this
my
guy.
Well, he does kill.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we'll
so
that.
We'll save that to the end. So they find him in Troi's room. And Crusher comes in, and she's startled. And Kevin's like, look, no, I'm just removing the music from her mind. She's healed.
She's healed. She can't dance anymore.
Right.
There's no music within her.
It's done. So Picard comes in then, and Kevin is like, all right, look, here's what was going on. I'm this thing called a Dawood, and or Dawood or something. I didn't.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like Drow when he said it.
Yeah.
But whatever.
He's like, I'm immortal. I have godlike powers, and I met this woman and kind of became in human form so I could live with her. I loved Rashawn. Then this alien race called the Husnok showed up, and they destroyed the planet. But here's the deal. I have godlike powers. I never used them to kill. Mm-hmm. So I would not kill them, and they killed my wife. And
yeah.
I saw her broken body.
Yeah.
And Dr. Crusher is like horrified that he didn't use his powers to destroy the Husnok as
yeah.
they were doing this. She was like, you could have prevented all of this. He was like, you don't understand. I have these powers, and because I have them, I cannot use them to kill.
And that must go back to his immortality as
yeah.
well. That's why life is so precious, because
right.
he can't die.
Yeah, so he is a devout pacifist. But after he saw his wife dead, he destroyed all of the Husnok with a thought. Not just the ones that attacked his planet, but the entire race.
Yeah, 50
billion. 50 billion people.
He killed 50 billion.
So he was like,
he yeah. should have just protected the colony.
I know. Well, so what he said is the Husnok, their culture is like they're aggressive and they kill everything. So I killed all of them. And I am in such deep grief that he pretty much just created this life with Rashawn on the planet alone so he can live with it.
Yeah. Well, I think we are to expect that he's going to be there forever now. He's
yeah.
punished himself.
That's what, yep. He's pretty much in hell.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's in purgatory or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. I guess it's a hell because he is going to have no new experiences.
Right.
But he's basically taken himself out of living.
Yeah. So
he put himself in a music box.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And also, that was the reason for the music, is because Troi was the only one that could figure out his secret, and he was like, I'm sorry I had to do it. I had to implant that in her head so she couldn't use her powers on me. And that's also what the ship was about. He was like, this is just another creation of my mind that I used it to prevent anyone from coming near it and
yeah.
exploring. It's like he set up all these traps all
yeah.
over the place. So it wasn't just like the physical snare that he had. It was also all of this like defense mechanisms that he had to keep anyone from getting inside, and figuring out he killed 50 billion people.
But Dixon Hill solved it.
Yeah. So Picard was going to take this guy into Starbase because he was going to like try him for the deaths of 11,000 people. But then he's like, well, this is kind of out of the Federation's jurisdiction. I was going to take you with me, but you know what? I'm just going to let you do your thing on this planet. Please don't kill us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll see you later.
I think that this is probably the best punishment possible, so
right.
enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So Troi gets better. She's fine. And the Enterprise is going back to the starbase for repairs. And Picard is noting in his log, he's like, you know, I don't know if this guy should be lauded, you know, for this incredible conscience that he has for pacifism, or if he should be condemned because he didn't use it to stop this terrible crime, and then he committed a genocide out of revenge.
It's so crazy to have the power of something you think becoming real.
Right.
Especially when
it's like that Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, they just ripped off the Twilight Zone.
Well, I mean, pretty much everybody does. But it's like, yeah, he does say, all I do know is he should be left alone.
Yes, exactly. No new thoughts for that guy.
Right. Don't give
him any... I
don't
want to ever be anywhere near
him. Literally do not give him any ideas.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, credits. Well, Patrick, this is the part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If it was pretty good, comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. And if it was lame, boring, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what did you think?
I think this is a classic set to stun example. There are some cool parts about it. Like, you know me, I love the space battles. And I also think, like, the philosophical stuff that we saw at the end about pacifism and the values of, and you know, drawbacks of that, that was cool. Problem is, we didn't see any of that till the end. Mm-hmm. There was so much air at the beginning of this episode that I just can't give it a set to kill. I mean, it took forever for anything to happen. And the B-plot was just someone screaming in pain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gotta go with set to stun.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's totally a set to stun episode. It's a good episode.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But you don't have to watch it. I said this to you at the very end of it. This is the episode where they spent a lot of time and then nothing actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, the universe isn't changed in any way.
No.
That guy just wanted to be left alone the whole time, and the solution is to leave that
him
guy alone.
Alone.
So, even within the universe of Star Trek, you could skip it because it's done nothing to future episodes. And yeah, it was okay. I liked Rashaan. I thought she was cool.
She was a social worker in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, she killed it in that part.
Yeah, I recognize her voice because it's so distinctive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've heard that voice somewhere. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
She was the person checking in on Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's right. Other part I found really interesting was both actors were in their 50s and they were playing people
in their 80s. Yeah.
Which is because you live so much longer.
Oh, okay.
People live like 150 years.
They live to be like 120 or 150 in this universe. Okay, that does make sense now.
Yeah.
So they would look younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I thought that was cool. So, but still, that's the coolest thing to take from this episode.
Yeah, I know.
So set to stun. Absolutely.
I agree.
Well, Patrick, anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, man, keep listening to episodes, leave reviews. We will read them on air. Also, if you need a copywriter or know of anyone that is hiring one, let me know. I'm looking for a new job.
I heard a rumor.
What's that?
That the Star Trek Adventures crew is getting back together.
I heard that rumor, too.
Yeah. Do you know why? Because I started it!
Yeah, yeah. We are going to do that again.
Yeah, if you liked our bonus episodes... of us playing Star Trek Adventures, we're going to play again because they just released rules for ship combat.
Oh, hell yeah!
Yeah! You get to do space battles for real!
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for pretend,
with Die, but it'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Die, listen to the Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive Dungeons & Dragons podcast where the listeners get to tell the players what they encounter. It's really fun. We were on the front page of the D&D subreddit this week.
Oh, cool. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, because Alex rolled his hit points for his paladin character, and he's a very charismatic man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very fun.
Awesome.
I think that's it. Follow me on Twitter, @PatLikesATweet.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Your peaches.